delight in you, that we might delight in your word, we might delight in the company of the brethren. What a joy it is to gather together in your house with your people in fellowship with you. So we ask that you would teach us, that Lord, we, as we read your word and it is preached, that the Spirit would move mightily for the saving of souls and the building up of your people, that we might see great fruit coming from your work. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 3 as we begin chapter 8, as we continue our move through the gospel according to Luke. And as you're turning, I'll remind you that Luke's written to confirm the certainty of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this evening, in these three short verses, in this passage we're looking at, we're going to see the importance of the preaching of the gospel. So Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, this is God's word. Soon afterward, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuaz, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. It's about 6 or 8 weeks into seminary. I was actually at a restaurant, a little small burger joint in Greenville, had taken Taylor out for her birthday to get a burger. We only had our two oldest sons at the time. They were little. Got a phone call. Couldn't hear. Went outside. It was a call from friends of ours back in Atlanta. And in this call, they proceeded to tell us that they were going to offer up a little bit of monthly support while we were going through seminary. And this is one of many things that God did unexpectedly, brought our way as we were praying for him to care for us throughout those 4 years. And it was a great blessing because I was taking a full load of classes. I was working kind of a night shift for 40 hours a week. And we were, I think those 6 to 8 weeks, we were at a point where we almost felt like this was undoable. And then God, through his people, brought this phone call, and we felt like we could do it, that we were going to be able to survive. We could just crawl through and make it. And they were doing this because they loved us, but also they wanted to help get another man out on the field to preach the gospel. It was a focus of these friends of ours. The Lord was using them. So if you want to bless, if you have a little extra money and you want to bless someone in a great way, talk to Dr. Wilborn, and I'm sure he'll be able to identify for you a seminary student that would love a monetary gift to help support while they're in seminary. And I assure you, the smallest gifts are appreciated by those in seminary. But even if you don't have the ability to do that, or that's not something you want to do right now, know that even your tithes, gifts, and offerings are supporting the preaching of the gospel. You're supporting your pastors here at Covenant. You're supporting the missionaries around the world that are preaching the gospel. You're supporting pastors in other cities that we are helping. Also, you're supporting the training of pastors as we give to Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary, and also as we loan out Dr. Wilborn as he teaches at Greenville and at other seminaries and around the world. Those are ways that you saints are supporting the preaching of the gospel. And that's what we see as we look at this passage here, these three verses. There's much, but what I hope that you will see is that Jesus gives his people the privilege of supporting the preaching of the gospel. And we're going to look at two things. Jesus faithfully preached the gospel, and Jesus faithful provide for the preaching. So Jesus faithfully preached the gospel. Jesus proclaimed the good news of salvation. And he did that while he was going about the accomplishing of the saving of his people. That proclamation of the gospel was part of that accomplishment. It was part of the growth of the kingdom, the saving of his people. My homiletics or preaching professor used to try to make the point to us, the importance of preaching. As he would say, you know, the God-man that came to earth, the Son of God, the one Son of God, was a preacher. So what you are embarking upon by God's grace, heeding that call and doing it the rest of your life, it is a great calling that he's given to you, and do not take it lightly. And we see that Christ didn't take it lightly either. You know, as he fulfilled the offices of prophet, priest, and king, part of that office as prophet was the giving of God's word. As he preached, as we read, as he went through the cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. You know, Christ didn't just preach and teach because he didn't have anything else to do until the crucifixion came. He wasn't sitting around and waiting, thinking, well, you know, I got to do something to fill my time. But he had a purpose. He was on his mission to redeem his people. You know, as he came in the incarnation, we talk often about, he lived the perfect life that we couldn't live. So as he's living this perfect life, keeping God's law, there is this time in the fullness of time that he spends teaching and preaching the good news, bringing the gospel, opening up God's word and delivering it. Just as he didn't randomly preach just because there was nothing else to do, because Jesus did everything for a purpose and for his purpose, he didn't perform miracles just because he felt like it would be something good to do, or he saw people he felt sorry for. Yes, there was much compassion behind it, but he was performing these miracles to testify to the fact that he is the Messiah, that he's bringing God's word. It is being delivered. There was a focus and importance on the preaching of God's word being the focus of that. And we saints, we understand that. That's why when we gather to worship, it's God's word that is the center of all that we do. It directs what we do. Our service moves towards the reading and preaching of God's word because we believe the Spirit is working through that. Even right now, in this morning, as your pastors preach, it is the Holy Spirit that is working through this means of grace. And we see also, not only is Jesus moving through these cities and villages, he's proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God, but it also says that the 12 were with him. Now, Jesus brought these 12 disciples, you'll remember the apostles, those whom he had chosen. He's bringing them with him everywhere he goes. I remember when I was in my pastoral internship, there was an aspect where if I wasn't working, I wasn't at school, I was with the pastor I was interning with. Because there was aspects where I would get opportunities to teach and to exhort and do different things in the church. But there was also the times where I was with him when we went to visit people in the hospital. We went to visit people at their homes when there was other things happening, because I was learning through that. And we see similar here. We shouldn't miss that as Christ is going through the cities and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news, the 12 are with him. What is it that the 12 are going to be doing soon? The 12 soon, after Christ has finished his mission, died on the cross, taken the sins and the just punishment of his people, as he's raised from the dead, ascends to heaven, then these apostles are going to be sent, in the explosion as the Spirit moves and works to take the church global. This was their internship. This was their seminary as they were with him. They were learning and they were seeing the importance of preaching and teaching as Christ is doing this through the cities and the villages. We read in other places already in Luke where he was going to the synagogues. He's going everywhere. He's being followed by massive crowds. There is purpose for this. It's not just something to do to fill time. Because you see, Jesus Jesus appointed preaching as the method for growing his kingdom. You know, maybe you sit and think from time to time, man, why do we do sermons? It'd be a lot more fun if we did X, Y, Z. Well, we do the sermons because we believe that this is what God has appointed as the method that is primarily used for the expansion of the kingdom that the Spirit works through. You know, imagine you're in battle, maybe World War II. You're somewhere in France. The commanding officer tells you, I need you to take that city, that little town, that little village. Now, you could get two types of commands. You could get one that would say, I don't care how you do it. It doesn't matter to me. Just make it happen. Within the next 24 hours, I want to see that German flag down, and I want to see our flag up, and I want it to be ours, okay? Go do it. And then the other one might be, now what I want you to do is I want you to take some tanks with you, and I want you to flank this way, and then I want you to send the infantry in this direction, and I want you to do X, Y, Z. It's exactly what I expect from you. That's how you're going to win this little victory. So similar results, similar orders, but one is specific. There's the do whatever you got to do, but then there's this is the method. This is the way I want you to go about doing this. Well, the tanks and the infantry, that's the method. God said, preaching, it's the tanks. That's how I want you to go about doing this. Growing the kingdom, winning these victories as the Spirit works through this. That is primarily how the growth of the kingdom comes, what the Spirit uses. And those theologians and pastors that put together the Westminster Standards that we hold to, our understanding of what the Scriptures teach, they acknowledge that. In Larger Catechism 155, the question is asked, how is the Word made effectual to salvation? And the answer is, the Spirit of God maketh the reading, but especially the preaching of the Word, an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners, and of building them up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. Now, there are times that it might come in a different way. Even this morning, as we read, primarily, one of the main things that happened in Jeremy's life as the Lord brought him to salvation is through the reading of God's Word. There are times that God uses the reading of His Word, but primarily, it is the preaching of the Word that the Spirit uses in the saving and the sanctifying of His people. And we should be really thankful it's the Spirit that uses it. That way it's not left up to the craftiness, the talent, the abilities of men. But it's the Spirit working through those whom God has called and raised up and gifted in different ways. And their ability to preach, it's the Spirit that uses it. Holy Spirit uses faithful, biblical preaching to save and sanctify. As I mentioned earlier, it's not other things, flashy things. We can't say, well, you know, preaching's so old. You've been doing it for a couple thousand years. We need to move on to something else. You know, something that's gripping. Drama. Art. Something, maybe some dance. I don't know. Something. But not this old preaching. That's been around forever. But no, this preaching of the cross, preaching of Christ, taking God's Word, preaching it to your mind, by God's grace, applying it to your heart. That's the tanks. That's the infantry. That is what God has chosen as the means to grow His kingdom. Do you believe that? When you come on Sunday, in the morning or the afternoon, as you're getting ready to come back to worship, is there while you're excited about being with God's people, ministering to one another as we sing, as we praise God, is there also a part of you that says, I'm pumped because I know God's going to work He's going to work through the preaching of the Word today. Tonight. It's going to happen. I'm not sure what God's going to do, but I know He is going to do what He wants to do. And I'm confident that He is going to do that. The Spirit is going to work through the preaching, the faithful preaching of His Word. You know, do you pray about that? Do you pray for that? Do you pray for the preaching here at Covenant? Do you pray for the preaching in our presbytery, throughout our denomination? Are you praying for the preaching in all of Christ's churches? Is that something you pray for? Do you think about? That's important to you? You know, and by God's grace, do you work at benefiting from preaching? Or is it just part of what we do twice a week? We move through it, we get to the end, I pull myself, shake myself out of it, we sing a song, and then we get the benediction and we're done. Or is preaching something that you seek to benefit from? Again, back to the larger Catechism 160, there's a question that's asked. What's required of those that hear the word preached? And they give us an answer. It's required of those that hear the word preached that they attend upon it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. Examine what they hear by the Scriptures. Receive the truth of faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind. As the Word of God, meditate and confer of it. Hide it in their hearts and bring forth the fruit in their lives. So I read that kind of fast, but there's a lot there. There's a lot to unpack. There's a lot that we can do. A lot that's required when we listen to sermons. So unpack this a little bit, what it would look like for you to drive that home. This morning as I sat there, what it looks like for me. Tonight as Dr. Wilburn sits there, what it looks like for him. You know, do you make regular, steady effort to be at the morning, evening worship of Covenant and pay attention to the sermons? Now, you're here in the evening, so you kind of automatically qualify for that. But that's part of what they're saying here. Do you pray before, during, and after the sermon that God will conform you to His Word? Do you look for the places that we offer up, whether it's Wednesday or Saturdays normally, and we give you the texts that are coming for that Sunday, so you'll know what's going to be preached in the morning and the evening so that you might read over it, be prepared, maybe look at the context, prayerfully prepare yourself. You know, are you a Berean? After the preaching of God's Word, you look at it, you take it, and then compare it to God's Word. Not with a heart of desiring to play gotcha, but wanting to make sure that everything that you heard or the way you understood what you heard is faithful to God's Word. And that, when it's faithful to God's Word, what you hold on to. You humbly receive biblical preaching by faith and have great rejoicing in your heart for the opportunity, knowing that there are those who do not have it. You take notes if that's helpful, review them, think about the sermon, apply it to yourself, pursue fruit. And right now in the sermon, in your heart, is this lecture time or is this worship time? I know this sounds crazy, but for your pastors, when we preach, this is worship time. Preaching is worship. It's wonderful. It's a blessing from the Lord. So Jesus faithfully preached the gospel. We see that throughout not only the gospel according to Luke, but throughout the other gospels. We see here in our passage that Jesus faithful provide for the preaching. So we look at verses 2 and 3. And after we've already read that Jesus is going through the cities and the villages, He's proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 are with Him. Then we get to verse 2. And also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone, and Joanna, the wife of Chuaz, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. Jesus, as he's going in his preaching ministry, is accompanied not only by the 12, but he's also accompanied by several of these women. These are just some of them that are listed. These three being the prominent ones, but also says that there's others, many others that are accompanying him and providing for them, not just Jesus, but also for the 12, and providing for them as they are on their preaching ministry as Christ is going from town to town. You know, there can be a temptation to fall in kind of two ditches when it comes, you know, we read here about these women who are accompanying Jesus. We think about the life of the church. You know, there might be some that say, well, you know, I've read the scriptures and I understand things and I'm trying to put things together and I look at the way the world is and it kind of concerns me, so I'm going to build up some extra rules and some walls. And to make sure that we don't break any of God's rules and we don't do anything we're not supposed to, we're going to add some extra stuff. And so it's really just best if half the church is just completely silent, sits there, does nothing, has no involvement. We really be careful. We don't want to let, nothing. Don't volunteer. Don't do anything. We've got to be really careful here. So ladies, just nothing. So that'd be one fall off. The other fall off is you got folks that respond to the pressures of culture and they say, well, you know, at this point, just whatever. Let's just all do it. We're all the same. We don't need to look at what God has to say about how to structure the church, who has gifts to do what, who this, that, and the other. Let's not worry about that. Let's just love Jesus and move forward. Those are two ditches that are temptations to fall into, things that we want to stay away from. We don't want to be Pharisees adding rules. We also don't want to be like the world. And we acknowledge that God's given qualifications for the officers, elders, and deacons who he has raised up, gifts to the church, but that doesn't mean that men and women don't have roles and opportunities and church life and service. There's lots of different things that we can look at, and I'm just going to pick a couple here. This doesn't even include prayer life. As you look through the scriptures and you have these different times of prayer, as we do on Wednesday nights, the saints, individual prayer, not even thinking about our roles as husbands, wives, our roles as parents, grandparents, but just a couple things. In Titus 2, godly women are called to disciple other women. They're to, in a sense, as they're coming along and they're discipling other women, they're a help to the elders, as the elders disciple the entire flock. They're being used there. We have a blessing of women that serve this role here at Covenant. They lead the ladies' Bible studies. They do one-on-one. They meet with ladies. The Lord's blessed us with that. Not only the example also, think of Titus 2. You see men and women, godly men, godly women have a call to set an example of Christ's likeness as well. Acts 9. There's godly women that are helping the deacons and caring for widows, so much so that when one in particular, you can go to Acts 9 and read of it, when she passes away, it tears up, it breaks the hearts of the widows whom this woman had provided for and cared for and looked after, so much so that we see the Lord perform a miracle there in his great providence and wisdom. Philippians 4, godly women who are helping the gospel ministry through support and sharing of the gospel. Again, the primary place that we see souls being saved, saints being sanctified, is through the preaching of the word. But that doesn't mean, so you don't have to worry about sharing the gospel with anybody. You don't have to worry about talking to your friends and family and neighbors and sharing the hope that you have in Christ. You don't need to worry about inviting folks to church. Those are primary support roles in the gospel and the sharing of it. So when Christians look to obey the responsibilities that Christ has given them in his word, and we stop looking and thinking and asking questions about what I can't do, and each of us starts praying for the Holy Spirit to help us accomplish what tasks he's given to us, that we might fulfill in Christ's body, use the gifts that we've been given to minister to one another, then we see God is glorified and the kingdom grows by God's grace. So Jesus and the disciples' preaching ministry were especially helped and funded by these particular women. By women also, it says many others beyond these three as well. In the last passage in the sermon, there was a focus particularly on a woman who came to Christ, and she was showing her grateful love and thankfulness that was motivating her to move into service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, there's a response here amongst these women that is driving them to seek to provide and care for Christ and these 12 so that the preaching ministry may go forward. Out of their own means, they're making these provisions. They're funding Christ's preaching ministry. And we see that the evil spirits had been cast out. Mary, called Magdalene, whom 7 demons had been cast out. There was infirmities or sicknesses that had been healed. Salvation had come. The spiritually dead were now spiritually alive. And with great rejoicing in their hearts, they respond by providing for the means and needs of Christ and the 12 so that the preaching ministry may go forward. So it continues to go from city to village to town, bringing the gospel, taking the gospel. And as you read through the Gospels and the accounts, you'll see again Mary Magdalene. You'll see again Joanna as they were there at the resurrection, faithfully serving, loving, providing for, being given a great honor and privilege that all saints of that time would have greatly enjoyed. Getting early on to know that the promises were true, the prophecies were true, Christ is risen. Christ has risen. Well, as these women here, we see as an example that they're providing out of their means. Again, as we mentioned, your gifts and tithes provide the preaching of the gospel. And we mentioned already about for your pastors and for other pastors, but there's also, as we're going to be having the opportunity to expand to you as we're moving into an increasing, throughout here in Oak Ridge and throughout the world, we're increasing our opportunities to support gospel preaching. And one of the ways that the session is seeking to do that is we've got some men around the world in different places who are planting or already are pastoring and seeking to plant Reformed Presbyterian churches. And it's exciting to think that we, with a little bit of the treasure that we're given to steward, are going to get to take a part in that. One day in heaven, if God is gracious, we might get to find out how just a little bit of that treasure that we've stewarded will be used. So we'll explain how, above your giving, if that's something that you are able to and want to give to, that you'll be able to support those works. And if everything works out, Lord willing, one of these pastors is going to visit with us at the end of the month. So it's exciting as we bring Pastor Ramirez. We're looking forward to having him again. And as we look at these new opportunities, bringing on Pastor Lemos, lots and lots of things that are happening. Lots and lots of ways that we are able to support the preaching of the gospel. And let us, while we're doing this, as Christ Church at Covenant, let's pray that we'd have hearts. We'd have hearts that are rejoicing in this, but also that, as we looked at last time, that we would not only be rejoicing in the opportunity to support the preaching of the gospel, but we'd be those that are so gripped by the gospel and what Christ has done for us that it would be ever on our lips to talk to others about. Even if it's really simple, like, I can't even describe you the hope that I have now. What God has done for me, just come with me. Come on. Come with me. I'll take you to church. I'll introduce you to some folks. And I'll take you home and give you lunch afterwards. That's like super easy, mega little gospel. May it ever be what excites us, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus gives his people the privilege of supporting the preaching of the gospel. And we looked at how Jesus faithfully preached the gospel and how Jesus faithful provide for the preaching. You know, I mentioned earlier about those friends of ours that gave us that call and how the Lord used their generosity between them and others that God put in our life. I mean, it was a great blessing. We were able to graduate seminary without any debt. And when I talk to other pastors, I know Dr. Wilborn's talked about this with me, that God does that. And we shouldn't be shocked by that, but God provides through His people, for His people, but especially for those whom He is raising up. So yes, one more time, I'll encourage you to think about it. Maybe God will place that on your heart to help a family or a man going through seminary. And again, I'm sure Dr. Wilborn knows a few godly, faithful, soon-to-be, dedicated, Presbyterian, Reformed pastors that could use a little support at the moment. But beside that, let us leave with this challenge, that we would never doubt and that we would every day increase in our belief that the preaching of God's Word is sufficient. That the Spirit uses this to save the lost and to build you up, saint, into Christ. May the Lord grow that faith in each of us. Oh Lord, we ask that right now as we pray to you. We ask that you would cause us to rest in your goodness and grace, trusting more and more every day that you are sufficient, that your grace is sufficient, that your word is sufficient, and that the means that you've put forward, the preaching of the gospel, that is sufficient because you have deemed it to be. And not because it rests on the shoulders of men, but because it is the Spirit that makes it effectual. Lord, we are thankful for this day and for this time, this morning and this evening, that we might gather to worship you, commune with you, and to be with the brethren. We love you. We look forward to being with you. And we ask that Christ would not tarry. For in His name we pray. Amen.